It's Tuesday night and time to talk Chadron State football with the head coach. It's the Jay Long Show, presented by Chadron Glass and Windows.
Cut back into him and he hit him perfectly and the ball bounced out, hit Sandersfeld, and then there was about two or three great blocks by some young football players and we ended up scoring a touchdown, which created a huge, huge momentum. That when you go back and you watch film, you know, I guess the first thing he shows is that, you know, it's never as bad as you think it is and it's never as good as you think it is. But, you know, the main takeaway was we played really well in the second half against a top team.
Here's your host, the voice of the Eagles, Dave Collins.
It's our weekly Jay Long Show with CSC football head coach Jay Long in the studio to talk about CSC football and look ahead to the week with the team and the opponent coming up. Coach, glad to have you in once again. It feels really good on this Tuesday for a conversation, a big-time win to start the year. Picked up a blowout W at Fort Lewis. That had to feel great on Saturday afternoon.
Dave, the water tastes better. The food smells better, tastes better. The air smells sweeter. The sun feels warmer. I mean, it feels great. And I told the guys, you know, this is the feeling that you want to be, that we play for. And when you look at it, we need to, this, we're going into the second half of the season, and we need to continue to build upon it and build upon the things that we are doing right. And Dave, you know, all week, for the past 6 weeks, every one of these conversations that we've had, it always goes around putting together four quarters of Eagle football. And the guys put together four full quarters of Eagle football. And did we have our mistakes in the game? Oh, yeah, we had our mistakes in the game. But the mistakes that happened to us didn't keep compounding and keep putting us in bad positions. And the guys were able to overcome them. And just really, really proud of the guys, you know, going up there. I mean, it was another tough trip. I mean, I think it was an 11 or 12-hour bus trip to get there. We had a few bus problems like normal, and our guys, we just didn't allow it as being an excuse, and our guys went out and executed the game plan. Really, really proud of the guys and really proud of how they executed.
Coach, you've been wanting your team, too, to put together four full quarters. It looked like four full quarters with no letdown, no distractions, anything. Even when it's a lead that's building bigger and bigger and bigger, guys can have a tendency on teams to kind of sort of let down or just kind of, you know, let the other team back in it or get some scores. But you guys were focused for all four quarters, held them to just 3 points on the scoreboard. And would you say you got your full four that day?
If anybody listened to the Saturday pregame, I think I said executed about 12 times. And, with saying that, the guys executed the game plan. And when we execute the game plan, good things happen. And like I said, I'm really just proud of them. And we're now past that 24 hours. And now it's time about to focus on, what's next and putting together a great week of practices. And, it's midterm. Also, make sure that we're executing in the classroom and competing in the classroom and then going out on Saturday and executing that game plan again.
All right, Coach, let's dive into the game. The win over Fort Lewis, 56-3. We'll start with the offense, able to break out for around 600 yards of offense on the day. What made it so efficient and so successful for you?
I think we also talked, Tuesday about, simplifying things and letting our guys just go out and play. And you asked me, and that was a real good question, what does simplify mean? And what simplify mean was the things that we put in for the first 3 days of practice. Our guys know that because it is what you do every single day. And the way I can put it is into math is that, you have to be able to count before you can add. You have to be able to add before you can subtract and so on and so on. And that's the way that our football plays are installed also. You start with the most basic ones, then you move to the more elaborate ones. And then each week you try to find is something you can take advantage of and then put those in as advantage plays. And the one thing is when you talk about the advantage plays, there is a little tweak, and your guys have to move off of the base add and subtraction plays. And I thought our guys did that really well. We still had some advantage plays in, and our advantage plays did work towards our advantage. And so I think that was a really big factor in us having the day that we did offensively with our stats.
A few of the individuals and moments that really stood out. Jalen Starks had a three touchdown day. Told me after the game he wanted to go for four. I don't know if he told you that, but three is a good day for Jalen. And another great play that led to Jalen's third touchdown, Ali Musa made a one-handed sideline catch on 3rd and 21 for a 1st and goal that was inside the 3-yard line, and he had a guy kind of draped all over him. He brought it in with just one hand. That one had to look great on film.
It was as good as you made it sound, Dave, and it was it was awesome. And when I watched that catch, I was one of the. I mean, there was two guys on him. He one hand caught it, and also he overcame a big 3rd down. In 2nd down, we had a botched snap, and we lost 18 yards on it. And you know, and he made that big catch. It's funny. Michael DeCamillis, our starting center, and he doesn't have very many. He's had very few of those snaps in his life.
Yeah.
And he's like, Elijah, I owe you a Gatorade on the way home or something like that. It was funny. But Ali had a great day also on special teams. I'm assuming you're going to ask me later who the hammer was. Ali was our hammer. He had 2 huge catches. There was another catch to move the chains. He caught it, put 1 foot in, caught it on our sideline. It was, I think, about 10 or 12 yard catch. So he had those 2 huge catches. He was really big on special teams. He had a big tackle on a punt, which pinned him. And then also, he's a guy that when we were talking about making our special teams more sound and putting guys out there that will go out and execute that game plan, he was one of those that got put on every special teams. And he was banged up earlier in the season. And gosh, he looked really good on Saturday. So really proud of him for not only winning the hammer, but also just his big day and kept making those big catches. Also, Alante, he had a huge touchdown catch that was really special. I mean, that guy was dragging on him, and he had brought it right down. I thought that was a catch that was a really hard one to get.
Yeah, it was.
And then our quarterback, man, our young quarterback had an outstanding day. I think he threw for 300 yards and 3 touchdowns. Preston, really is starting to feel comfortable back there. I was proud of our offensive line for protecting him, which gives that confidence to that young quarterback back there to be able to go out and just focus on doing his job. Jaden Cox rushed for just under 100, and Dave, he really set up his blocks really well. By Monday afternoon, I think I've seen the film 3 to 4 times, and that was something to me that really stood out was him setting up his blocks and making people miss. Whenever you have 600 yards, there's going to be numerous people you talk about, with it, but I'm just really proud of the guys going out and executing the game plan.
Yeah, Coach, and when you talk about the line and the blocks and Jaden setting those things up, when you guys were running the football, it looked like it was as wide open getting into that second level and beyond as it's been all season, that you were really getting a lot of that space in the field to get guys like Jaden Cox into the open field where he can just turn on the burners and then get going.
Jaden rushed for 4,000 yards in high school from Wyoming, and he's one of those guys that just, he can make people miss. And the key is that we got to keep him free for 4 yards. After the 4 yards, if he can hit that safety on full stride without having to break stride, then he has that opportunity to make a miss. And, Dorian ended up getting hurt in the game. He didn't finish the game. Dorian averaged 16 yards a carry, and on, I think he went 3 carries.
Yeah.
And, when you look at, the combination of all 3 of them, when we can utilize all their strengths, it's really a good thing. And it's as we go into the second half of the season, those 3 are going to have to be guys that really can utilize it. Another guy in that backfield is Rylan. Rylan is really, really starting to step up. We're starting to get him more involved in special teams. And, when you got 4 running backs that can do good things, we have to have them on special teams. And Starks is now feeling better. We're starting to move him into more in special teams. Jaden Cox also, had 2 big returns on punt. So, all those things, I think, are things that, is really growing in that running back room. Before I move on, and I know I've been talking a lot here on this, but Jamal Browder had a huge 70-yard run. You got to see what he can run. You got to see how fast he had.
Yeah, as soon as he hit the 50, 10 yards into the run, I could tell right at midfield he was going to be gone. No one's catching Jamal on the sideline, and I'm sure our Mitchell, Nebraska listeners and fans were going crazy when Rylan got into the end zone. That was a really cool moment, too. Like you said, a lot to talk about on offense when you put up 600 yards and 56 points, Coach. Just a great day there. Let's turn to the defense now, too, because, boy, did they do their job all day.
Our front 7 just dominated, Dave, after game, you're asking me for names, and I mean, it was just the front 7 just dominated. dominated up front. And, you know, when your D-line, when our D-line can, you know, physically get after offensive lines, great things are going to happen. And our D-line has done some really good things all year long, and which allows our running back, or excuse me, our linebackers to go out and make, you know, big plays like X and Richie and also Joey and Hamasi. I mean, it really, you know, was one of them days where our front seven just really stood out. And when the front seven stands out like that, pressuring the quarterback, I think we got 3 sacks on the day. And, you know, Dave, to hold him to minus 11 yards is, you know, really outstanding. And, you know, I was a part of the, you know, the playing here in the 90s. And I think, you know, we had a couple minus 32s, but, you know, most schools minus 11 yards rushing would be a school record.
Yeah.
But it was a really big day, you know, for the front seven, which then allowed our secondary, you know, did not, you know, there was no pressure. There was pressure on the quarterbacks. So our secondary was able to make big plays. It was just a real good day all around on all three sides of the ball.
And I think last year was minus 25 rushing for Fort Lewis. So that'd be back-to-back years in the minuses. And that was also on Saturday without Hunter O'Connor. So just a great job by the front guys up there on defense to take care of that. You mentioned Mossy. He and Mossy Lay, too. He recovered a fumble in the game and made some more big hits. Just a terrific transfer linebacker in for you. He was a big part of how the Skyhawks just 2 of 15 on third down.
Mossy has that such great quick twitch. I mean, when you watch him, he can trigger. When he triggers, he goes straight downhill and makes, you know, really big plays. And, you know, every one of our linebackers are a lot like, when we're talking about the running backs, they all have just different strengths. And, you know, it's really fun to watch them. And it's, you know, it's been, you know, exciting that we, you know, actually brought in a true freshman in that mix with those four linebackers that are consistently out there, you know, doing the right thing and being in the right spots and, you know, making big plays for us. So, yeah, there's been a lot of big plays, you know, on both sides of the ball, three sides of the ball, counting special teams on Saturday, and, you know, really just happy that the guys went out and executed that game plan.
Yeah, love to see the defense on third down allowing just 2 conversions, too. That was great. And we'd kind of talked Hammer a little bit already, Coach, the special teams award. You said Ali Musa gets it. I know one of the things it's tough to see is Dax back there with a fumble.
Yeah.
Terrific player, but just had a tough day with it then. Are you thinking about maybe getting Musa more involved by returning at all in the return game, or how's anything on that?
If you've seen our return game, we made some yards on our punt return and really our kickoff return. Jamal had a big return on our kickoff return also. But in our punt return, it's really about gaining possession and catching that ball. And, you know, we've struggled all season with it, and we've put in Dax, and, you know, and we also got Jaden Cox. Both of those two guys are two of the most trustworthy guys on our football team.
Yeah.
And I thought that Jaden came in after Dax's fumble and looked really good back there. And I think he feels more confident back there. He's the guy that, you know, I'm assuming that we're going to move in there on that, you know, next week. And he finished the game in that. You know, as far as Dax goes, I mean, nobody tries to do on a fumble ball or anything like that. You know, he was just trying to get those extra yards, and he got hit and it popped out. And you know, when you look, you ask about Musa did return as a true freshman for us.
Yeah.
But the reason why our big returns were happening was Ali Musa was out of corner, and that is one of the hardest positions to play in football, in my opinion, is blocking that gunner on the other team on their punt. And Ali is that guy that we're putting there, so that shows you how much we trust him in that position to go out there and help our return game there too. So, you know, Dave, it's something that we're constantly fixing on. I was really proud of how we finished it, and I was proud also when the change of possession happened, how our defense went and reacted on it also.
Coach, does it say a lot about Ali as a player and a teammate to take the pride in that gunner blocking type of position and not have to feel like, hey, I've got to be the guy back there to make the highlight plays, the returns and things? He's going to go out there and give it all he can to block for somebody else and make sure those holes open up.
Dave, Ali is a perfect example of our program. We say all the time that we are developmental first program, and Ali has talent, and he has a lot of talent. And but when he came here as a true freshman, you know, he didn't know if he wanted to be in Chattern, Nebraska, and he ended up leaving us, you know, during the season, asked to come back, and then, you know, was as a freshman and was really just kind of, he didn't really know what he wants. And when I say this, I'm not saying it in a negative way. There's a lot of 18-year-olds out there that doesn't know what they want to do.
Yeah.
And he ended up, you know, coming back, you know, he early in his career wasn't getting what he was wanting as far as touches, wasn't getting what he was wanting as far as you know, making plays and opportunities to make our team better. He wasn't involved in special teams. And each year he became here, he just kept building himself and making himself better and better. And now we're going into his fifth year with us. And now, Dave, we're talking about him, you know, as an Eagle and a guy that has developed into a top player, not only on our team, but, you know, in the conference with those two huge catches, with those, you know, all over the field on special teams. And, Dave, this is just the game where it showed up. He's been doing that all year. And when he got hurt, it affected us on offense. You know, when you look at our program and what we are about developing our athletes. And Ali has a great GPA. Ali's going to graduate with us in 4 years. And, you know, he's a guy that I'm just really proud of. And, you know, and when we talk about our team, that is what our team is about.
Yeah, those are such great stories to hear about guys like that who develop, come through, and really become those Eagles, as you call them. Coach for your team, Ali Musa. Great game and really wrapping up a great career as we move forward. Coach, we need to dive into injuries now. It's been an unfortunate storyline during the year. Some key guys going down and didn't play on Saturday. What's the situation here injury-wise for you as you look forward to the next game?
Right now we're still evaluating a lot of guys. You know, Juan didn't make the trip. Hunter O'Connor didn't make a trip. Isabron didn't make the kick or the trip. Isabron didn't make the trip. When you look at, that's three starters for us and three, you know, big playmakers for us. And then in this game, Dorian didn't finish the game. And so, you know, when you're looking at it, you know, we're going to have to be smart with them this week. We're going to have to, you know, evaluate them day by day, and we'll see how they progress. And, you know, when we talk, you know, in our pregame, we'll be able to hopefully know a little bit more about those guys.
Okay. All right. We'll get that from you on Saturday before Adams State. We'll look ahead at the Grizzlies here in a moment, Coach, but the Fort Lewis win, 56-3. Coach, you became the third winningest coach in Chadron State football history with that victory. That's terrific. And then that also doesn't count 9 wins that were vacated on your overall record because of some NCAA violations that happened prior to you becoming the head coach and having a staff. And I do want to give you an opportunity to respond to an editorial in the Eagle newspaper last Thursday, the student paper, that actually called for a new head coach at CSC. And go ahead, if you'd like to respond to that, here's your time.
Well, I guess first off, thanks for, you know, the congratulations on, you know, taking, you know, being third. And if you count those 9, you know, I'm second in overall wins. And when you look at, you know, being able to pass Ross Armstrong, you know, Ross Armstrong, there's a building named after him. We have every one of our meetings in that building that's named after him. So that's a pretty big honor. And, you know, when I came here in 1995, I never once ever thought that as a player that I would be a coach here someday. So I get to live my dream, and I get to live it, you know, every day, and that's pretty cool. In regards to the paper, Dave, you know, it's 18 to 22 year old kids, you know, writing an editorial that, you know, it's anonymous and that, and you know, it, right now with what happened with Scott Frost, you know, it creates a lot of press and that type of stuff, and it actually does in the article say something in regards to comparing us, you know, Scott Frost and Nebraska. And, you know, when you're looking at Division II and Division I, there is a lot of disparities amongst school to school to school. And when you look at Nebraska, you know, when you look at their facilities, there's not much difference in facilities between Nebraska's facilities and Wisconsin's, or Wisconsin's and Ohio State's, and Ohio State's and Indiana's. Every one of them are beautiful. Every one of them have the same, you know, type of resources. And, you know, when you're looking at Division II, and, you know, that's questions that, you know, when we look at the offseason, when we look at where our program's going, you know, we need to, you know, talk about our scholarship funding and what, you know, I as a coaching staff need to do, you know, to continue to raise money to get ourselves, you know, to be one of the top in scholarships. You know, when you look at the disparity, there's also, you know, things in regards to sports staff, those type of things. And I guess, Dave, with that is, you know, there's just disparity in Division II. And, you know, to say that, hey, this is the way things need to be compared to Division I, that's not the case. And Dave, I'm very proud to be the head football coach here. I'm very proud, and I'm very lucky to be the head football coach here. When you look at the past career of Chadron State, there's been 25 seasons that we've had over 8 wins. And as a football coach, out of those 25, I've been a part of 3 of them as a coach, and actually 3 of them as a player also. But, you know, we've had a 9-win season, 2 8-win seasons. We had a 7-win season. We've went to the playoffs. You know, we've been ranked in the country numerous numerous times. And, you know, Dave, we are a developmental program. And I'm going to back up for a second, too. You know, and that's just the football side of things. We've had all Americans, all conference players. You know, we have great players going through. And our guys are leaving our program with degrees. And the other part is, Dave, you know, when you look at our team GPA, is over a 3.0. And it's been that way consistently over the past 11 seasons I've been the head football coach. And that's something that I'm very proud of. When you look at the Breckler Award goes to the team in the conference that has the highest GPA. You know, we've won it 4 out of the 9 seasons with having the highest GPA. So our guys are graduating, they're getting degrees, and they're having a great experience playing football, and they're winning lots of games. The last piece of that is that reading something in a school paper by 18 to 22-year-olds, that I'm a grown man. I'm okay with that. People have the right to have opinions, and that's okay to have opinions. The ones I don't like, Dave, I'm not happy with the last 2 seasons we've had either. And I'm the one that that it hurts me the most when I look at my alumni, my teammates, the guys that, you know, that have wore the eagle on our chest, and they say, what's going on? And you know, the truth of the matter is, and Dave, our program has been like this for a long time, is that we are a developmental program. And when you're a developmental program, you start the guys as freshmen and you build them into Eagles. And we have all different types and shapes and sizes and speeds in that weight room. And this morning was our 7 o'clock weight room, and I was in there and I'm looking at our freshmen, and in there is going to be Eagles, and we have to develop them. And when you look at our cycle of where our program's at right now, we just got it off of a 4-year to a 5-year starting quarterbacks. And it then takes time for your team to rebuild back up. The last time we were in this cycle was after we lost John McClain. And we built ourselves back up to a 7-win team. We were ranked in the country, and we're going to do the same here. And it's all about how, you know, our guys develop and how our guys go out. Our coaching staff works their butts off, Dave, and I'm very proud of them. And for, you know, someone to call for our job, you know, for my job, this isn't just me. It's 11 coaches that are busting their tails for us. And that doesn't count the trainers. It doesn't count the strength staff. It doesn't count our compliance officers that are all doing jobs to make, you know, our athletes have the best experience they possibly can. And I can tell you that the program is on the right track. And the thing that I'm most mad about is that 3 years ago, I scheduled the number 3 team in the country, an FCS team in the country, then back-to-back the reigning conference champions. And you know, we had a young team, and we went out and we battled them, and we learned from them. And now it's all about going in the second half of the season and going through our process of going to class, having great practices, and you know, and finishing. And you know, if we continue to do that, we're gonna be okay, and this thing's gonna be back on track, you know, and we're gonna continue to build and continue to get better.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that upsets me the most when people talk about this season and they see 0-5 and they think so many negative and bad things are happening, is they don't look at, like you said, the schedule. And you and I have tried to really hammer this through to people this year a lot and hope they'll get the message a little bit now that a Division I team, Angelo State, currently ranked 3rd in the country, Colorado Mines has lost 2 games on the 5-yard line to the current number 2 team in the nation and to Angelo State in overtime number 3. They're 2 plays away from basically being number 1 in the country. You got Black Hills State, who was 5-0 going into last week. So it's the casual fan likes to just look at 0-5 and not really watch games, dive into box scores and things like that, and understand what's going on and the development of a team. And there's a lot of very positive things on the road ahead for this team this year and in the future under you guys and your staff. And I hope fans will recognize that, embrace that, and move forward positively with that.
You know, and Dave, I think they do, and our administration knows that, and really, when you ask me how do I feel about it, it just brings drama to the team that we don't need. And you know, I think it was 3 weeks ago we talked at the end of this. I said, you know, when things aren't going good, we don't need haters. What we need is people that will, you know, support us. And it's no different than anything else in life. When things are going tough and not going the way you planned, you need people to help support. And we do have that. We have some great fans. We have great family. We got great kids on our team. Dave, I started off this year telling you how much I love this team.
Yeah.
And that has not changed. And I really love the guys. I love being around the guys. Dave, you're so lucky. I envy you with being able to go on the road with us, because you get to be with our guys. You get to be around our guys. You know what it's like. You know what the feel of our team is. And you do such a great job portraying it to the radio, and which is to our fans also. And it's we got really good kids on our team, and those good kids are going to turn into good things in the future. And I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, it's so great to be around the team and know what is coming ahead, and being around these great guys and your staff, Coach, as you mentioned. And there's nobody that I've never met anybody that loves CSC football as much as you, wants to work as hard to make it as successful as you, and cares as much as you. And so I know things are in good hands moving forward, and it's going to be a good finish to the season and beyond, Coach. So thank you for taking that opportunity to address it and giving us some insights following that article from last week. But let's finish up the show today with a look at Saturday's game. Adams State coming here. They're struggling a little bit this year record-wise. You kind of watch them play a lot of new guys, a lot of transfers, trying to figure it out midway through the season. What's your early outlook on the Grizzlies that you're going to face this week?
You know, as far as Adams State goes, you know, we're looking, you know, forward to a really good game, a really fun game. When you look over the past few years, that Adams State game has been one of them wild ones. And we know that when we go against them, we got to make sure that we execute on all four phases. And, you know, Dave, the things that we've been talking about in our meetings and out on the football field is we got to go out and just got to execute that game plan. It's not about them. It's about us. And our guys are going out there and it starts with perfect practices. And that's what we've been doing, and that's what we're going to focus on. When you look at them on defense, they're a four-down defense. Offensively, they want to run the ball, and then they want to throw it deep. Mm-hmm. And then I think on special teams, they have some really talented players, especially in their returners. So, you know, we've got to go out and execute on all three phases, and we're excited about this game and excited about the week.
We'll learn more about it and the details on the matchup Saturday. Pregame at 11:15 and the kickoff at noon, as head coach Jay Long will be on our pregame show following that. CSE and Adams State. Jay, thanks again for coming in on our Tuesday night program, the Jay Long Show. Always good to have you, and we'll talk to you later this week for game day.
Thank you, Dave. We appreciate everybody listening and supporting our Eagles. Go Eagles.
The Jay Long Show is presented by Shadron Glass and Windows. Whether you're looking to replace one broken window, upgrade your entire home or business with a beautiful new look, or replace a cracked vehicle windshield, you'll find your perfect glass solution at Shadron Glass and Windows. Save money this winter on energy costs and upgrade to more energy-efficient windows and doors. Stop in and see Judd at 139 Main Street, or give Shadron Glass and Windows a call at 432-3268. That's 432-3268. Tune in every Tuesday night during the season for the Jay Long Show, presented by Shadron Glass and Windows. Listen on demand by downloading archived shows on the CSC Sports page at panhandlepost.com.